You're listening to the 710 ESPN.com Kamenetsky Brothers Lakers podcast, sponsored by Care More Medical.
If you are on Medicare or know someone on Medicare, call Care More at 1-800-965-1217 today or caremore.com.
ESPNLosAngeles.com. This is Brian Kamenetsky and the Kamenetsky Brothers Land O'Lakers podcast, joined by my brother Andy.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. How are you doing?
I am fine, Andy, and it's a very exciting day because it's Wednesday, March something or other.
17th.
And that means it's the day we celebrate the most Irish of days.
I love, by the way, that you are about to get into the celebration of St. Patrick's Day, this big holiday, and you don't even know what day it is.
I'm not good with days. I'm not good with days of the month, or days of the week, for that matter. Days, generally. And, of course, and celebrating it by talking about the most Irish of sports, Lakers basketball.
Absolutely.
Doesn't get more Irish than that.
Well, it does to a certain degree, because John Ireland is very involved with the Lakers,
true,
with this very station and KCAL 9. He does the sideline reporting for them, and you don't get much Irish of a last name than John Ireland.
I mean, that is the embodiment of all things Irish. Of course, the problem with St. Patrick's Day, Andy, beyond the drinking, which can be a problem.
It can be a problem. It can actually be a wonderful thing.
Wonderful. Yeah, you almost get a little dewy-eyed at that. It's very green, St. Patrick's Day. It's filled with shamrocks.
Green color.
Green color.
We need to make sure.
Not like environmentally. No.
No, you don't actually save the planet.
It's probably not good for the country's carbon footprint or something like that. I don't necessarily think of it as a day of conservation.
It depends. Does vomit help the carbon footprint? If there is a lot of conservation that comes from the extra vomit on that day, then maybe.
Does dyeing the lake green up in Chicago, does that make it is that environmentally conscious? No, it is a color green holiday. It's filled with green. It's filled with shamrocks. All of those things, Andy, represent a problem for Lakers fans because it's really reminiscent of the Boston Celtics.
And House of Pain.
But also Boston Celtics. Yeah, we got to remember. I mean, Sasha Vujicic last year, the Celtics are hated, Andy. I think we all know that. Boston Celtics in L.A.
And you know, actually, beyond, I think actually outside of just Boston, I don't think anyone likes them.
I don't think so.
Like they don't like the franchise. I think a lot of people, certainly a lot of players, don't particularly like the players on that team.
No.
They think they yap a lot.
They do. Certainly Kevin Garnett has lost his mind.
And Kendrick Perkins, that frown permanently turned upside down.
No, they are not popular. I mean, Sasha Vujicic last year spent an entire year not wearing the color green.
Yeah.
He removed it from his wardrobe, a very popular and frankly hard to avoid color.
It is actually.
Took the whole thing out. So it puts Laker fans
it's a good thing that their colors aren't basic black.
Right.
Because that gets really
or like beige.
White.
Khaki. It gets into some problems for Lakers fans. Like, can you celebrate St. Patrick's Day? And so to solve this problem, I mean, can you? You have to wear green. People can come by. If you're not wearing green, people have the right on St. Patrick's Day to come and punch you if you're not wearing green.
No, it's pinch you. It's actually pinch you.
Not in my neighborhood.
Yeah, West Hollywood.
They will come. They will punch you if you are not.
Mean streets of West Hollywood.
That's exactly right. They will punch you if you're not wearing green. Deeply Irish community, West Hollywood.
That's what they're known for.
Yes.
Really?
No. Not at all.
I get it.
So it's not punching?
It's no, pinching. It's pinching.
It's much different.
You're not allowed to commit a felony assault.
On St. Patrick's Day.
It depends on how seriously you take your Irish heritage.
Then. And are people wearing green or not? I mean, if somebody's wearing green and you punch him, then you're right. You can't do that.
No, I mean, I don't think the cops go, you know what? He just decked that guy and broke his job.
He wasn't wearing green.
But he wasn't wearing green.
It's St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, you got to make sure, though, you got to make sure that it's 11:59 or below that day, because if you do that at 12:02,
right, no, then you're going to jail.
Going to the pokey.
All right, well, file that away. Punching, not allowed. Pinching, totally acceptable.
Yeah, I mean.
Although you really got to be careful with that, too. I mean, you can't just, you know, these litigious days we have, you can't just be walking up to people and pinching them.
No, it is.
Better than punching them.
First of all, it is a sexual harassment suit waiting to happen.
Yes.
You got to really be respectful of where you pinch if you're in mixed company.
I don't think you should pinch at all.
Yeah, it's probably just. It's
probably
you know
not
what you should
idea.
Do? Just give someone a dirty glare if they're not wearing green.
Yeah.
Let them know they're not.
Pinch
the
them with your mind.
Exactly. But yeah, I think if you are a Laker fan worth your salt, you skip that day.
Right.
I mean, you still go out drinking.
Because March, right, well, yeah, but I mean, that could be any day. March, though, is filled with lots of alternative. It's not like you can only celebrate, if you miss St. Patrick's Day, you're done. Like, you miss the only good holiday.
So you channel your drinking another day.
Right. I mean, first of all, I mean, it is a shame that we're doing this for you now and not last week when you could have taken advantage of some of March's better holidays.
You do it retroactively.
Sure, or you got your National Anthem Day, National Pound Cake Day.
Sounds like
that's
Van
a good
Halen
one.
Holiday.
Share a Smile Day. Everybody can get behind that. That's March 1st. We missed that. Good Samaritan Day was March 13th.
For me, that's every day.
That's right. No, Buzzard Day, March 14th.
You know what else is March 14th? And this actually could help Laker fans. This is actually a legitimate way for Laker fans.
Mm-hmm.
March 14th is Save a Spider Day. It's your way of honoring Stu Lance.
Oh, yeah, Old Spider Lance.
Old Spider Lance.
Old Spider Lance.
That was his nickname in high school.
I think here's
he
one.
Like the nickname.
Here's one you can take advantage of going forward for the rest of the month, if you are so inclined. The 18th, that would be Thursday, tomorrow, is Goddess of Fertility Day. Celebrate that however you'd like.
Well, it depends. There are some people in certain relationships who are going to avoid that holiday as well.
That's true. It's also, oddly enough, Goddess of Fertility Day is also the same day as Supreme Sacrifice Day.
I thought you were going to say it was National Safe Sex Day.
No.
Then that's really a conflict of interest.
Other things coming up on the calendar, Poultry Day is on the 19th. Extraterrestrial Abduction Day is on the 20th.
Hmm.
There are a lot of made-up sounding holidays.
Something on a Stick Day, March 28th.
That's something we can all get behind. National Chocolate-Covered Raisin Day is the 24th. National Chip and Dip Day, that's the 23rd.
National Teenagers Day is on March 21st. That's got to have some angst attached to it.
Yeah.
Paging Roman Polanski.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Oh, you know.
Too soon?
Why can't we all just put that one aside and get behind Pecan Day on the 25th?
You know what? If you want a good as day as any to drink, and it comes on a Friday, which is when most people start their drinking,
uh-huh.
March 29th, that's when the Swallows come back from San Juan Capistrano.
It's something we can all get behind. It's also Smoke and Mirrors Day.
Huh.
I don't even know what that means.
I have no idea. How do you celebrate that?
Do the Mavericks play that night?
The Mavericks?
Smoke and Mirrors?
Are you saying they're getting it done by Smoke and Mirrors? Don't let Drew Belzer hear you say that.
You know what? Instead, here's what you do. On March 17th, you go out, you have your festivities, but you make it all about celebrating the rubber band being invented in 1845. And it's not about St. Patrick's
Day.
It's not about the green.
You're just very enthusiastic about...
Instead,
it's also Submarine Day.
Right. Instead of one of those awareness ribbons, you just put like a rubber band on your chest.
Right.
And that's how people know you're getting behind the rubber band.
On this
you're
day
not betraying
in
1845. The
Lakers. And finally...
And don't pinch me.
Finally... or punch me. Finally, March 26th is also Make Up Your Own Holiday Day. Which quite frankly...
It seems like March is.
Right. Fragrance Day. National Chip and Dip Day? That's got to be something the Chip and Dip Council of America got behind early, I would think. But anyway.
There's a council?
I would think. There's a council for everything.
Has to. You're right about that. We need, that's what you need on the podcast.
Everything.
March 31st is, well, they say national, but they even admit that there's no real records of this becoming a national
right.
holiday. Clam on the Half Shell Day. I don't even know most people. Do most people
eat
commonly
clams?
Eat on the half shell?
I don't know.
Oysters, sure, but clams?
I've never heard of it.
Me neither.
But anyway, I'd like to apologize, Andy, in advance. If I don't remember to wish you or buy you a card for extraterrestrial abductions day on the 20th.
No,
it's
so
easy
noted.
Sometimes to overlook these things.
So noted.
Our busy lifestyles. Anyway, the Lakers, they've been busy too, Andy. They've been on the road. They've been in NorCal.
You can forgive them if they didn't go out and get a card. They've been busy.
I mean, if Josh Powell forgot to send you a card on Freedom of Information Day, it's because he was playing in Sacramento that night. He was
busy.
They swept both games in Northern California, beat Golden State Monday, beat Sacramento on Tuesday, looked bad. I think we can agree.
Against Golden State.
Doing it Monday.
Yeah.
And I thought played a solid game Tuesday night against Sacramento. It's an interesting time because they see Minnesota on Friday, and then the Wizards on Sunday.
Who, as mom once described, she doesn't like their uniforms.
It's because they're ugly.
Right, but she also doesn't like the style of them, and she said that their neckline is anything but wizardly. You could also describe their play the same way.
Right.
They're anything but wizardly.
These are two very bad teams that they've got coming up. So it's kind of an interesting time because, you know, beating Minnesota, beating Sacramento, beating Washington, these are not games that are necessarily going to make you say, oh, wow, I mean, Lakers, my God, they're championship worthy. But they're, I think we both agree, this is an important week for the Lakers. It got off to a terrible start, but, you know, seems to be turning around a little bit against the Kings.
Well, it's important, and I believe we are in agreement on this. It's important because the Lakers have not really gelled this season. They haven't consistently played at a level that makes you think that they definitely will repeat, or at least really they're in the driver's seat. They have definitely not played in a way that we've hoped for. And these four games represent, in my mind, the best opportunity they have to tune up and really start to find that flow before they end up on a five-game road trip against five, you know, very good to at least good teams.
Good enough, yeah.
You know, between San Antonio.
San Antonio, Oklahoma City, and Houston, that's a back-to-back. And then they'll go to New Orleans, who are...
They're okay,
but
they're certainly not bad.
Right, and then finish the trip on the 31st in Atlanta.
Yeah,
and that's a tough five-game road trip.
Right, and three of the five of them are really going to be playing pretty hard because they're jockeying for playoff seeding.
Yes.
So,
and plus, everybody plays hard against the Lakers.
Right.
Maybe that's what we've known.
Right, and then they come back, and they have San Antonio and Utah. Then they go back out on the road again, Denver. They got Portland in L.A. It's just, they don't get many opportunities.
No. And by then, too, I mean, you're talking early, mid-April. It's difficult to, if you're not in sort of a rhythm and a flow by
right.
then, it's hard to say, you know, then you're relying on doing it once the playoffs begin, which is always a tougher process.
Truly flipping the switch.
Right. We actually put up a poll about this on the Lakers, the Land O'Lakers blog at ESPNLosAngeles.com.
We didn't put it up on our old blog.
No,
that's overstepping our boundaries.
That would be wrong, frankly. I think most people agree that, you know, these games matter in the sense that, you know, if they don't start to play better, they lose an opportunity to build that rhythm you're talking about. Over 50% of the people who respond to the poll think these games are important for that. And, you know,
10% actually think if they don't play well during this stretch, it's done.
It's over.
They're not going to repeat.
I mean, sounds a little dramatic to me. But what specifically are you looking for? I thought last night we saw it a little bit in the, you know, Tuesday night against Sacramento. We saw some of it in the sense of they recognized often where they had an advantage. They, you know, Pau Gasol was, I believe, 12 of 14 from the floor. Andrew Bynum was 9 of 14, something like that. They found their advantages.
49 combined points.
Right. They got the ball inside to those guys. Not as much as I might have liked, but
definitely not.
It was a priority. They didn't give away, they didn't give away a late lead like they did against Golden State Monday night. They seemed to be, they took much better care of the ball Tuesday than they did Monday. They cleaned up a lot of things, and it's not a question of going out and blowing out teams. For me, it's not a question of blowing out teams by 35 points. It's of playing consistent, clean ball.
Right. Focused ball. Execution. We haven't seen them really consistently executing a game plan and really being mindful of playing smart. And this is a good place to really refocus that. We've heard them talking a lot about it lately, and I think recognizing the need to do it. But there needs to be more than just talk. They actually really need to be doing this beyond just trying to evaluate, can they repeat, what's the matter with this team, whatever. Just from a practical standpoint, looking at the calendar, there really isn't much time to make it happen, particularly for a team that has not done it on a regular basis leading up to this. I mean, the time really is now.
Okay, so two games more important than they might otherwise seem, despite the weak sister status of the opponents. And one of the things that'll be interesting going forward is the guard thing. The guards. We've been talking a lot about guards this season. Not Kobe. Kobe's playing a lot. He's sort of entrenched in the starting.
Although
lineup.
The minute you stop looking over your shoulder, that's when you lose your starting position.
That's true. He might be hearing the footsteps.
He starts getting a little bit too comfortable. A little bit too satisfied with himself.
Typically. Hasn't that been Kobe's MO throughout his career?
Yeah,
getting
exactly.
A little lazy,
Kobe,
a little comfortable.
Kobe, fat and happy Bryant.
Right. Originally, before he changed it to 24 to do that whole 24/7 thing, he was actually going to go with 19.
For?
19 hours a day. It's not working any more than that. 19 is enough.
Actually, it was going to be OT, as in, I will never do that.
Right. What?
Overtime.
Oh, okay.
He was going to have letters
on it. You can't put letters on your, you have to have numbers.
Kobe's big. Kobe can do that.
I gotta have numbers. But the guard thing is an issue. Last night, Wednesday night in Sacramento, Tuesday night in Sacramento, it's Wednesday today. Still this somewhat shorter distribution of minutes. The Lakers are almost back to that, backup guard rotation that they had at the beginning of the season. Jordan Farrar played 8 minutes.
I thought you were
Kings.
Counting Lamar Odom as a guard playing that position.
No. Jordan Farmar had 8 minutes against the Kings. He had 11 in the two games before that combined, 11 minutes combined. Sasha Vujicic played 12 minutes on Tuesday night. Almost the entire fourth quarter. Shannon Brown has been getting the lion's share of those backup minutes. He played 15 minutes last night, but it's very clear that Phil Jackson is doing a couple things. He's trying to get Sasha Vujicic back in the lineup. He talked about that last night. Those minutes are coming at the expense of Jordan Farmar. And to me, at least, it seems like he is trying to build up Shannon Brown's ability to kind of, I don't know whether it's play in the flow of things or get him rounded enough to be ready to play in the playoffs, have some balance. First, let's talk a little bit about how you see the minutes being distributed, and then we can talk a little bit about Shannon's performance in particular.
Well, I mean, Phil showed last year that he is willing to take Jordan Farmar out of the rotation.
Yes.
If there is, in his mind, a better option. I mean, Shannon, when he came over as the self-appointed throw-in in the trade between Charlotte and the Lakers with Radmanovich and Adam Morrison, I think they thought maybe he could come in and, occasionally provide some athleticism or defense, but I don't think anybody saw him getting into the rotation for actual minutes that quickly. But Jordan had not been playing in a way that the coaching staff particularly appreciated. And it was pretty obvious that they were looking for a way to take him out of the rotation, and they did. And Jordan ended up getting back in, and he got the message and I think played under more, control and the way they wanted him to for a while. But he and the triangle, I think, are just generally speaking, they're not simpatico.
Right, but I don't think this necessarily is as much to do with Jordan Farmar is playing poorly, and so Sasha Vujicic is going to take his minutes. Or Shannon Brown is playing great, and so he's going to keep his minutes.
Well, I think Shannon is the, we've thought that since the beginning of the season. Shannon is, of the three, the one that is least likely to fall out of the rotation at all.
He is, but right now you can make an argument at least that Shannon is playing the worst.
Two separate issues.
Out of the three. And I think, you know, Farmar playing less, you know, somebody's going to lose their minutes right now. And, you know, depending on how things match up and all these other things, I think, you know, he's obviously losing those minutes. They need to find out whether or not Sasha is going to provide them anything in the playoffs. He's played better since the beginning of the season, was playing better before he hurt his shoulder, had some good minutes against Sacramento on Tuesday. They're not getting enough consistency from any of those three to, I think, discount Sasha completely from the rotation. So I think he's trying to get him in.
But I don't entirely agree with you, though, that that's just what it is.
I don't think it's just, but I think it's a big part of it.
But I think it's a big part of it, but I also think it's a case of they could just as easily take Shannon out, but Farmar and Sasha of the three are the only ones that can run the offense. Shannon cannot do it. I mean, Sasha may not be able to run it well, but he literally knows what he's supposed to be doing. Whether or not the mind and the body cooperate are two separate issues. Sasha knows the offense and knows,
but has never really been able to run it.
I'm not saying that he can't. I'm just saying he's a better option than Shannon, you know, and Farmar is a better option than Shannon, whether or not he's willing to do it. The guard play lately has been, I think, very out of control. You've had a lot of guys, you know, I mean, not a lot of guys, there's two of them, but
there's only so many.
No, but Shannon and Jordan, I think, have been getting very one-on-one. I think they've been working outside the offense a lot. And if you're looking to try to cut down on that, you're going to, I think, take Sasha and put him in for Jordan just because from an alignment standpoint, if you take Shannon out, the problem isn't necessarily solved as easily because Jordan's going to have those initiating responsibilities and the problem may still go on. If you put Sasha in that role and he's theoretically trying to play more under control, maybe you can get something better out of both of them.
Maybe, but the problem is that Shannon has developed a larger role in terms of how much he is trying to run the offense and
sure.
Initiate things and all these other things. The coaching staff over the course of the season has encouraged him to be more aggressive, encouraging him to find and test his limits in the offense. But the problem is over the course, and I wrote about this earlier in the week on the Land O'Lakers blog, you know, his numbers since Kobe Bryant came back, 38% from the floor, 28% from 3-point range, 1.36 turnovers per night. This is before the Sacramento game, but, you know, his performance last night, 2 of 6 with a turnover in 15 minutes isn't going to necessarily, you know, boost those numbers to the point where it looks like they're all out of context now. He has not had, he's averaging more turnovers in less minutes than he had at any other point in the season. And over the course of the season has dropped off in terms of how he shot the ball, in terms of how he's handled the ball and all these other things. I think in part it's because teams are paying more attention to him when he's on the floor, and in part because he's trying to be more aggressive. He just doesn't have certain skills. I'm very curious as to how long Phil is going to let, he doesn't handle the ball like a guard.
Well, it's like Phil said in the story that I wrote about Shannon, you know, a year ago at this time, he wasn't even a guard.
Right.
He was a small forward.
And this is, you know, I am very curious to find out how long they'll stick with Shannon, who's making more mistakes, I think, in terms of how he runs the offense and his shot selection.
I think it's more shot selection than how he runs the offense.
But in terms, even just how he makes passes, whatever. But I'm curious as to how long Phil will stick with him going into the playoffs. Because like I said, my theory is, and it's a theory, that Phil is trying to have, you know, Shannon had that stretch where he played great earlier in the season, and now he's less in control, less. He's trying to get him into that middle ground where he can be an effective, reliable guy off the bench in the playoffs. Even his defense hasn't been as good as it was earlier in the year. So that's my theory. I mean, well, it's
do you want my prediction?
Yes, why not?
I don't think anything changes.
So you think Shannon's going to get the big minutes regardless of whether or not he's playing well, and either Sasha or Farmar will sit in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I do, because okay. I think of the three, Shannon is the one that they like the best. They're not going to go with a six-man rotation. So one of those three guards has to be playing pretty big minutes. And of the three, I don't see them taking – unless Shannon is playing just horridly bad to the point where they're not winning, you know, or to the point where he is really destroying what's going on out there. They also have to figure out, too, with Shannon, their practical purposes. They need to figure out what they have in him because they're going to have a decision if he opts out during the offseason.
Right, but you know, you don't do that during the playoffs. Yeah, that's not, the playoffs are not the time to figure out what we have in Shannon Brown.
I don't think
that's when you necessarily experiment and give a guy an extra, you know, 10 minutes a night over a player that might help you more because you're trying
well,
to figure out.
But like I said, though, if he's destroying things, that's one thing. But if he's actually, if he's just struggling, but they can live with those struggles, I don't think anything stops.
No, we'll see. Another interesting sort of through line throughout the entire season has been the performance. By the way, did you get a card in the mail to mom for Pecan Day coming up on the 25th? If not, do that.
I actually just sent her a pecan pie.
Oh, that's a little on the nose, don't you think?
Mom likes holidays. She's a traditionalist.
She really does. Mom actually would probably appreciate a Pecan Day. Is it pecan or pecan? Which way do you go? In the South, they say pecan, don't they?
I don't know.
Or pecan.
I always say
CJ,
pecan.
CJ, what do you do? Pecan.
I always say pecan.
I've never said pecan pie before until I got here.
The only time
literally this morning.
The only time I've ever heard pecan pie is that one scene in when Harry Met Sally, when they're making funny
pecan
voices.
Pecan pie.
Yeah, I think the only time I've ever heard anyone call it pecan. I always call it pecan, but I don't know, maybe I'm an aristocrat.
Or maybe I'm just an idiot. Or both. I don't see why we'd have
dumb
to
dumb aristocrat.
But anyway, get that in the mail. You haven't. She likes cards, Mom.
You know what would be really cool, actually?
What?
I mean, this would make her feel good. You get a pie, but you get, you know, a really talented baker.
Bake some cards into it?
No. You bake a card. You make like a pie card that, you know, it's somehow attached where she can fold it open. It's written out with the pecans. You know, we love you, Mom, Andy, and Brian.
That's just a pie. Really, with lettering.
It's a pie. Well, that's uncommon. It's not like that's the
saying,
typical
but,
pie.
But every day at bakeries across the country, they do that.
I like where you're
going
with that, Andy. I think that's pretty darn genius.
Yeah, I mean.
It's just, you can do that. Like, if you go to the bakery and say, you know, write me a message on it.
No, it can like in layers. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about something where actually part of the pie folds open. And it's like literally like you're reading a card.
It's just a pie folded in half.
Okay,
a pie with hinges.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Something that reads like an actual card.
Then you open it up and it's got like writing in there or something?
Yeah, like, or you know, the pecans are put in a lovely shape. It says, you know, we love you, Mom.
First of all, it's going to be a big pie because to make a note out of pecans, it's not easy.
Well, fine, whatever.
Just put love you, Mom, or something. I guess, whatever.
Okay.
Our mom means a lot to me. I'd give her a big ass pie. Maybe you wouldn't.
I think it's a delicious idea.
I'm just saying.
That is called positioning in the will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know, I mean, pie, what do you send then for, say, well, you could repeat it. Ironically, it's the same day. You could repeat it for Waffle Day.
Well, you probably get a deal.
Right. I mean,
well, the waffles are really
waffles
easy. I mean, that's
nearly as hard.
Right. I mean, the waffles, you put a stick in between them and just attach them and just carefully move them. I think you can make that happen.
The engineering. The waffles, it's easy to make messages on waffles. Harder to make messages.
No, I'm just saying the swivel part, like to make it so two waffles open up. That's much easier because they're individually. It's pretty easy to take like two Eggos and a pencil. You know, you can make that happen.
And then, like, you'd slide them apart, like some sort of thing? I fear we're getting a little sidetracked here. But now, explain to me, the Eggos are put together with a pencil.
Or just whatever. That was a crude way of doing it.
How do they fold apart?
The pencil serves as like a spine, like a book spine. It joins the two waffles together.
How do you get the pencil through both waffles at the same time?
You gotta get the edges together and very carefully put that pencil down.
I don't think structurally that's going to work.
I think you can make it work.
What were we talking about?
Or like a peg.
Some sort of peg.
A long peg. You probably have to mash the ends of the waffle together, though.
Okay.
We must have waffles. We must all have waffles forthwith. We must all think. We must all have waffles and thank each and every one of us to the very best of his ability.
You know, if I sat down with a plate full of waffles, I bet I could think out this situation.
Only over waffles could a man figure this out. Speaking of people who like waffles, Pau Gasol and Andrew Bynum.
Oh, yeah. They're known as the waffle kings of that locker
known
room.
For their enjoyment of waffles. We've spent a lot of time over the course of the season talking about whether
they sometimes call Powell el waffle.
Yes. Spanish for the waffle. We spent a lot of time talking about whether or not they can coexist. Can they play together? Andrew Bynum.
If they would send each other a pecan card.
Card. If they would care enough to do something like that. Andrew Bynum has, fair to say, gone off over his last four games, starting against the Raptors back in the Toronto game, 8 of 12 over his last four games. 8 of 12, 8 of 12, 6 of 11, and 9 of 14 Tuesday night in Sacramento. 22 points, 19 points, 18 points, 21 points. 12 rebounds last night, 14 rebounds Monday. He has played extremely well. Pau Gasol has, rebounded, I think, strongly from some...
He was
poor,
in a rut.
Bit of a poor rut.
He was in a rut.
Against a couple, some undersized teams, no question, but 7 of 11 against the Suns, 10 of 13 against the Warriors, who are undersized to say the least, and 12 of 14 Tuesday night against Sacramento, 28 points, 26 points in his last couple games. If he could hit some free throws, he'd be even better. Starting to see some signs if the Lakers can get some consistency getting the ball inside. Not every game's going to be against tiny teams, but getting the ball inside consistently, that these guys may be able to find a rhythm and play in a way that people have been looking for all season.
Well, I think to some degree the notion of coexistence has to do with are you talking about just purely the way they play together, or are you making it all numbers dependent? And if it's numbers, then you are going to, I think, be disappointed more than you're happy.
Well, numbers.
Because the notion of them both getting 20 and 10, 20 and 15 every night, both of them, it's not realistic.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And I think where people sometimes, it is difficult for Gasol and Bynum to both be as good as they can statistically while they're both there.
Exactly.
And they play with Kobe Bryant. And to some extent, I think they suffer. But one of the reasons why I think I asked Phil about this Monday at practice, and he reinforced the idea that, having these two guys there, A, that they can play pretty well together, especially because Powell moves the ball well. But we also saw Tuesday night Bynum more effectively passing out of double teams and finding shooters along the perimeter.
He had a great kick out that set up a really wide open Fisher
right.
three.
He's done better with that. And as he continues to improve, getting the ball out, he'll get it back more often. But I think the Lakers collectively benefit more from the combination being there, even if Gasol and Bynum on individual levels don't. And so, to me, it's one of those things where the team becomes less, if you split up that pairing, whether it's by inserting Odom into the starting lineup or trading Andrew Bynum or whatever it might be, I think you take away something from the team that separates them from other teams in the league. And it's not that they can't be good that way, but I don't think they're as unique, and there's something that could be lost, in that exchange, to me.
Yeah, I mean, there's some truth to that. I don't know if I agree as much about the inserting Odom in, because I think sometimes they separately play better with Lamar, but conceptually I understand what you're talking about, and it's just an advantage to have, even if it's not always utilized to its fullest, to its fullest strengths, by choice. I to be honest, another problem they have, or if you really want to see them go off the way people envision it or what people are expecting, is honestly the team just has to be more mindful of using them more.
Yeah.
And dumping the ball. I mean, last night's win against Sacramento, when Pau and Andrew are combining for, 21 out of 28, 49 points?
Well, yeah, and in the first half, it was even higher. I think between the two of them in the first half, they missed like four shots.
Yeah.
Ball's got to see him more.
There's no reason for Kobe to be shooting the ball 26
Kobe
times.
Kobe or Fish
or
to be shooting. I mean, the ball needs to stay
right,
inside.
Exactly. I'm mentioning Kobe specifically because his shots alone almost doubled theirs, and he only made 16 of them. I mean, he only made 10 of them. He missed 16. But it's not purely a Kobe thing. It's an everybody thing. I mean, when they have this advantage, as boring as it can be, and I think at times it can be boring, it can feel like that, you know, just dumping the ball inside, particularly when you're going up against, like, the Warriors, and they're running around and having fun, and, you know, Nelly's not paying any attention to what they're doing. You know, I mean, that can be a lot, look a lot more fun. They need to just play to those strengths, and that's when you're going to see Powell and Andrew truly, you know, play well together, if that's the way you're defining
it. Yeah, and it can't be that bad a combination, because the Lakers have been very good in the first quarters of late. So, I mean, it couldn't be hurting them that bad. So, that combination is something to look forward to. The last three games, though, both have been not just playing well, but also putting up very big numbers, which is important to see. So, Andy.
Brian.
Yeah. Oh, right.
you brought this up.
So, Andy. I just want to take this opportunity before we go to make sure, A, you are enjoying National Noodle Month to the to the fullest extent that you can.
You know what? That's a great holiday, just because noodles...
It's not a holiday. It's a whole month, Andy.
Right.
Devoted to noodles.
But, I mean, but that's fun, though, because everybody laughs when you say noodles. That's noodles true. Is a funny word.
It is funny.
It's hard to be unhappy during National Noodle Month.
Hey, CJ. Noodles.
CJ just laughed.
He's smiling.
Just from the word noodles.
Noodles. We missed Earmuff Day. Disappointing.
You know, actually, you know who missed Earmuff Day? The makers of Old School.
That's right. Well, maybe they didn't. They probably celebrated it.
But they could have had a great tie-in. They should have released it during Earmuff Day.
Coming up towards the end of the month, March 21st, you got Children's Poetry Day. National Goof Off Day is coming up on the 22nd.
I'm telling you right now,
everyone.
I will so skip Children's Poetry Day.
Yeah, pancakes were first made on March 25th in 1882. Just something to keep in mind. If you know anybody named Joe, give him a high five on the 27th. That's National Joe Day. Andy mentioned something on a stick. That's the 28th. Something on a stick day. And
you know,
of course,
no matter how you feel about
a
health,
little holiday, something called Passover.
You know,
that starts.
No matter how you feel about healthcare, and it's an issue that is, I think, safe to say, dividing this country.
Mm-hmm.
It's caused political uproar. It's, you know, it's similar to the way
we're up in arms, Andy.
Well, it's similar to the way Vietnam would tear families apart, tear demographics apart. No matter how you feel about it, put all that aside, and on March 30th, give a doctor hello on Doctor's Day.
All right. Seems
you know,
fair.
Give him a little fist bump.
All right, so we will be back. I'd like to remind people also Fan Jam. Fan Jam is
not a national holiday.
Weekend. No, not a holiday, but that will be Lakers Fan Jam is Saturday and Sunday at the Convention Center. We will be on the radio, sitting there on the radio on
the radio
Sunday from 2 to 4:30. We'll be hosting. So if you want to come out to Fan Jam Pacific. Well, I mean, if you're not in the time zone,
no, it
doesn't do much good.
Well, but if it's being streamed.
Right. No, but I'm saying if you want to come see us or visit Fan
sure.
Jam or attend Fan Jam,
it
doesn't do you much good if you're in a different time zone knowing, I mean, you're not there. So.
No, I understand that, but I'm just saying there's going to be so many people disappointed at the notion of not seeing us in person.
Right.
I don't want them to feel like they can't hear us.
No. No, that's true. I mean, those people, though, will probably be excited to be observing the rest of National Frozen Food Month. So
but it's not the same.
It's not the same. That's true. So
yeah,
we will be
Fan Jam.
2 to 4:30 on Sunday. We will be in the building. Please stop by and say hello. We'll have more about Fan Jam on the Lando Lakers blog. But that is all I think we have for today.
Yep.
I think.
No.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much tapped out.
We're actually running out of... Oh, wait. March 21st, Single Parents Day.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a big demographic of people.
It is.
Yeah.
oddly enough, on National Teenagers Day.
Someone didn't think that through.
No.
All right. So, ESPN, Lando Lakers is the Twitter feed. Kamenetsky Brothers is the Facebook. And, of course, it is the Lando Lakers blog at ESPNLosAngeles.com. We will see everybody next time.
God, I can't wait to throw down on National Quilting Day.
It's going to be a big day.